Today what we'd like to do is to look at somebody who would have very important words written on his tombstone. Hebrews chapter 11, because we've been looking at some of the heroes of faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Last time we looked at Cain and Abel. Today we speak about Enoch. Chapter 11, verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found. They organized a search party for him, and they couldn't come up with him, because God took him. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Not everybody died in the Old Testament, almost everybody did. But Enoch walked with God and was not, because God just took him to heaven. And so certainly we can see here that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. Enoch walked with God. In order to understand the context in which he walked with God, you need to turn, of course, to Genesis chapter 5, where we have a couple of more details about this remarkable Old Testament man. Genesis chapter 5. If you read the fifth chapter, you know that it does indeed give the feel that you are walking through a cemetery. Because it has the generations of the sons of Adam, and it continuously says, and he died. For example, in verse 5, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And then we go on to verse 8, so all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Verse 11, so all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Verse 14, so all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. You get the idea. You're walking through a cemetery. But then you come to the shock, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah is famous because he is the oldest man that ever lived, so far as we know. He became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. 300 extraordinary years. 65 ordinary years, 300 extraordinary years. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. There it is again. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. Just a couple of observations regarding the context in which he walked with God. First of all, he walked with God in the midst of an evil society. If you read the fourth chapter of Genesis, you know that Cain went as far as he possibly could from the Lord. And then you have Lamech in chapter 4, verse 23, who's already abounding in wives and practicing polygamy. And you have this going on. And generally, the tenor of the nations at that time were evil. Notice in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. God saw that the sons of God and the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. And really what you have here is great wickedness multiplying upon the face of the earth. That's the context in which Enoch walked with God. It is possible to walk with God in the midst of an evil society. Notice also it is possible to walk with God in the midst of a family. Enoch had children, bless his heart, and even so he still walked with God in spite of that. Could I say candidly with a smile on my face, Enoch was married of all things and still walked with God. I know that singles generally believe that only singles are really able to walk with God. And that's true. And from time to time in the singles group, Daryl, you have singles who choose to no longer walk with God as singles, but choose to walk with God in other ways. And we continually hear rumors about those who perhaps are ending their singlehood for something that they hope to be better. And I'm sure it will be under certain conditions. Now, notice that Enoch walked with God even in the midst of his family. He had other sons and daughters. He had Methuselah. How would you like to be the father of Methuselah? Well, Enoch was, and he walked with God. Now, what I'd like to do tonight is to give you five characteristics of walking with God. Five characteristics of walking with the Almighty. And the intention is that after the next 15 or 20 minutes are over, and they shall pass, I think, rather quickly, at least from my viewpoint, you may have other opinions which you can keep to yourself. The fact is that when it's over, I hope that you will have a greater desire to walk with God. And what a wonderful thing to have written on your tombstone, he or she walked with God. Characteristics of walking with God. First of all, there is agreement. There is agreement. Amos asks the question, he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no, not very well. You can have two people walking together, but as long as they have different interests, they walk together with tension. They do not walk together in joy and in harmony and with a sense of mutual appreciation. I've had the experience, as you have, of perhaps being with my wife and going to some display or seeing some display of new equipment or whatever, and isn't it interesting that at a certain point we part, and she goes her way and I go mine because of diversified interests. I remember reading about two people who were walking through a place in Paris where all kinds of art was displayed along with machinery. And you know what happened when the farmer walked along with somebody else? The farmer went to the machinery to see the new equipment, and the artist lover went to look at the artwork. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no, not very well. Now, when we walk with God, we have to be in agreement with God. That's what it means to confess your sin, homologeo, to say the same thing as God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because what we are doing when we confess our sins is to be in moral agreement with God. We agree regarding his opinion, regarding sin, regarding righteousness, regarding judgment. We just really agree with God. That's what it means to walk with God. And the minute we decide to disagree with God, we are out of step with him and we are no longer walking with him. We have different interests, different desires. Scripture says in 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Most people interpret that verse this way. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, you have fellowship with me and I have fellowship with you. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Perhaps that's what John meant. But the antecedent, if you remember your grammar, the antecedent actually is this. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is to say, God has fellowship with us and we have fellowship with God. So it may well be that that's the way John expects us to understand that verse. Just imagine it. The Almighty looks forward to having fellowship with us. We want to walk with him, and he of all things wants to walk with us, that we might be in agreement with him. That's the first thing that is involved in walking. Secondly, there is progress. There is progress involved in walking. If you're going to walk with God or walk with anybody else, you're taking steps, and the steps are actually leading you somewhere. Now, one of the problems that we sometimes have in life is that we run ahead of God, or else we lag behind, and we are not in sync. We're not in step. Remember Peter, when he was about to betray the Lord, though he didn't know it, he had just said that though all men offend and are offended because of you, I will not be, I'll stick with it, with you all the way. The Bible says that as Jesus was walking, Peter followed afar off. He followed afar off. Now, sometimes that's what we do. We let God go first, and we are very slow to learn, very slow to catch on, and it takes us a lot of time to get our act together, to get in step with God. Sometimes there are people who walk ahead of God. They impulsively are making decisions without consulting the Almighty, and therefore they are jumping into situations for which they are not prepared because they think they have God's blessing, and perhaps they don't. And so it is very important to be in step with God and not get ahead of him. Since we've already spoken about marriage and it comes to mind for no particular reason, The fact is that sometimes couples in their relationship get ahead of God, making decisions and entering into agreements and doing so without even consulting the Almighty. So notice, progress is made. When you're walking with God, you're going somewhere, and you need to try to stay in step with Him. Third, there is trust. There's trust. You don't walk with somebody that whose integrity you question. At least you're not very comfortable walking with a person like that. Obviously, if you're going to walk with somebody, if you're going to walk with the Almighty, and the Almighty is walking with you, there is to be a relationship that is built that is sturdy, a relationship in which there is love, mutual respect, because you believe in the other person. There is communication going on. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. In Psalm 103 it says, regarding God, He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel saw God's acts. Moses had such intimacy with God that he was actually introduced to God's ways. God says, I'm going to show you things about myself, Moses, that nobody else is really going to know about. So you have that fantastic story in Exodus chapter 34 where Moses hides himself and the glory of God passes by and all the brilliance of God is seen, and God is sharing Himself with Moses, and Moses received so much of the brilliance and the glory of God, and instead of being satisfied, it only made him more hungry for God. And so isn't it interesting that this person who had seen so much of God shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration, seeing Jesus in all of His glory and His wonder, getting more of the glory and the wonder of the Almighty. So there is trust. You could add love. There is sharing that is going on when you walk with God. It's awesome to think that God sometimes seeks for people with whom He can share His secrets. You remember in the case of Abraham, it says, will the Lord hide from Abraham the thing that he plans to do? And the answer was no. God says, Abraham, I'm going to take you into my confidences and I'm going to share with you something that I'm going to do, something very special. Nobody else needs to know about it, but you and I do, because we're friends. Now, of course, I don't believe that God necessarily reveals all kinds of hidden secrets to us, but through the Word of God, we are drawn closer to Him, and therefore He reveals more of Himself, and we begin to understand much better as to what God is really up to as we walk with God. Fourth, there is mutual honor when you walk with God. Actually, when you stop to think of it, we all like to walk with people with whom we are impressed, and people whose honor we admire. Remember years ago going to a Cub game, back in the days when I didn't understand the Cubs. I was thinking that they were actually in it to try to win. This was many, many years ago in the early 70s. And I didn't really understand until the late 70s what was going on. But I remember there was a shortstop by the name of Don Kessinger. Kessinger was a Christian. I guess if he's alive, he still is, my theology would say. And all of these kids were crowding around trying to get the signature of Don Kessinger and to walk with Kessinger. My guess is that there are some young people in Chicago today who would like to walk with Michael Jordan. Oh, I know the Bulls lost this afternoon. Yes, most assuredly, they came in and they lost by, I think, 3 points. And I don't know exactly how the city is going to be able to handle it if they lose the whole series. There could be, I would think that psychiatrists are going to make a real boon here in the city, because there are many people who are going to experience unusual depression. And I hope, by the way, that they do win. I'd like to see these Lakers get sent back to where they came from, knowing who number one really is. So even though I'm not into basketball, for now I'm going to be, and I'm on the Bulls side. But there are people who say, I'd like to walk with Michael Jordan. And can you blame them? Who of us wouldn't like to walk with Michael Jordan. Great honor though that is, think of the honor of walking with God. I mean, I'd be glad to walk with Michael Jordan, but think of walking with God. What an honor. Many years ago, Rothschild was in the New York Stock Exchange. You've heard of that name. He made a buck or two. And there was a young man who was having a lot of trouble getting clients. And he knew Rothschild, and so he went into Rothschild's office and was explaining the fact that he was having a hard time getting started with all the brokers there on the New York Stock Exchange. And Rothschild said, "Let's leave the office and let's take a walk around the New York Stock Exchange." So they did. They walked around and then they came back and sat down in the office, and the young man picked up the conversation where it had begun, and he said, "As I was saying to you, I wish that you'd help me somehow." And Rothschild said to him, "I already have." Do you know that that's all that was needed? From that time on, this man had as much business as he possibly could use, because the people had seen him walk with Rothschild. They thought anybody who walks with Rothschild must be a good man to do business with. He must be in the inner circle. Well, once again, I'd like to walk with Rothschild. I don't think he's taking walks these days in the New York Stock Exchange, but I wouldn't mind walking with him. But think of the honor of walking with God. I mean, if you in life accomplish nothing, you say, "Well, I'm a candidate for that position." If you in life accomplish nothing except that you walk with God, you will have gladdened the heart of the Almighty, and you will have been able to accomplish the greatest honor that anyone could ever possibly have. Imagine walking with God. Fifth, there's a destination when you walk with God. You're going somewhere. And eventually, you're going to end up in heaven. I know that most of us are not going to be like Enoch, who was translated long before Wycliffe Bible translators. Enoch had his translation. But the point is that even though we will have to die, we'll have to die unless the Lord returns, in the end, we are going to end up where Enoch ended, namely in the presence of the Almighty. That's where we're going to have to end up. And that's where we're going. And you know something? It is possible already for us now to begin to enjoy some of the blessings of heaven. That's why the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a down payment. He is the earnest. What it means is that God is saying, "Here's a little touch of heaven right now in your heart to make you anticipate heaven in the future and to begin to whet your appetite for perpetual and continual fellowship with me, the living and the true God." I'm reminded of a Greek scholar who was a very godly man, and his daughter said of him, while he was dying of cancer, she said, "In his closing days, my father spent more time in heaven than he did on earth." He was already walking with God. He was already in the presence of God, though still in the body. And then eventually he died and was then translated into the very presence of the Almighty with all the hindrances of the flesh removed. There is a destination, you know. When you set out to walk with somebody, usually it's because you actually intend to go somewhere. And in our case, when we walk with God, eventually we end up going to heaven to be with Him. It says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. He walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah and had other sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." A little girl in a Sunday school class said it very accurately. She said that there was a man who used to take such long walks with God that one day God said to him, "Don't bother going home. Come home with me." Well, that's what happened to Enoch. He was translated. He was taken up to glory. They organized a search party. The text says he was not found. They went looking for him. And Enoch was nowhere to be seen because God took him home. How appropriate it was a few moments ago to hear the singles sing. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? We make life so complicated. What does the Lord God require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That's what the Lord requires.